Hi, everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which you can find as a free download on iTunes. And today, as always, I'm excited about having another amazing woman join me for what will prove to be a great conversation. So, hey, Carolina. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine, and I'm very honored to be a part of your show.
Well, I think people are going to be really excited to hear parts of your story, which is really inspirational. So can you start us off by introducing yourself and where you're from and a little bit about what you do?
Okay, sure. My name is Carolina A. Yala, and I'm from Canada. I'm in Ontario, in Toronto, and I am presently working at Community Living Toronto. Supporting people that have intellectual disabilities.
Oh, cool. That's such a gratifying type of job to have, huh?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, I had the privilege and the honor, Carolina, as you know, to get to know you a lot better this year at the National Stuttering Association conference that was held in Cleveland.
Yes.
And I remember bugging you, asking you if you'd like to be on the show, and I'm really glad that you've agreed. But you shared with me your thesis research paper that you did to complete your master's program.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you a couple of questions about that to kind of get us started. Is that okay?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
I find it really interesting that you did your research on disability studies and paralleled it with your own life experience of being a woman who stutters.
Yes.
Do you consider stuttering to be a disability?
I think I fought that for a long, long time. I fought that, and I was trying to tell myself that I don't have a disability, but I think it's fine. It's okay. If you have a disability, it doesn't make me any less of a person. But I think that I thought that if I did say that I had a disability, that people would put me in a box or would just not expect very much. And through my master's program, I really was inspired by the students and by just so many stories of people that did identify themselves as people that did have a disability. And so I've decided that if I can put a positive spin to disability and to show that having a disability is not an negative characteristic, then people can learn to treat each other with respect.
Amen, sister. Amen. Yes. to that. And you know, from having you know, got a chance to talk to you more in depth this year at the conference, and certainly by reading your paper, I kind of almost get the impression that you're at the point in your life as a woman who stutters that you've decided that it's real important for you to walk the walk. Am I correct?
Yes, yes. There are still many days that I prefer to just not stutter. But I think everything happens for a purpose. And this is my purpose, to teach people about stuttering, to teach people about disabilities, and to just do my very best at everything I tackle.
That's a really healthy attitude to have. And you must be a really good role model for the people that you work with, both both the clients and your coworkers, I would imagine.
I try to be, Pam. Yeah.
Do you get much of an opportunity to talk about your stuttering with people that you work with, colleagues and such?
Yes. For sure. When I first started, I definitely had to do a lot of educating, a lot of telling people not to finish my sentences and just getting people to be more tolerant, and it's just that when people are exposed to like stuttering, sometimes they don't know how to act, but I've that overall everyone's been very supportive, and especially on the telephone, I remember being so scared to phone other staff, to phone the families and such. But over time, people have become very, very patient and understanding. And I've been able to now, like, do all of my duties and not be afraid anymore.
That's incredibly inspiring to hear you say that, because I remember reading in your paper a story that you described about one time having a really horrible problem with having to call for a taxi when you were still in school.
Yes.
Could you talk about that a little?
Yes. So I used to habitually stay late at school to study. So on that particular day, I think I had stayed at school till maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. So I called the normal taxi company and I asked for a taxi. Well, I attempted to ask for a taxi, and the first time the operator, she hung up on me almost immediately since I had started to stutter. So then I phoned back a second time, and she started like laughing, and I was trying to say, no, this isn't a joke. I honestly need a taxi. So I think I called like five times before I could even get anyone to talk to me. So I just said, look, I just need someone to take me home. And by that time, I was very upset, and like just even though people had done many things before, I still felt so much pain that I had been treated so awful. Like, it's something that is not of my doing. So I decided to phone the office on the Monday morning, and I told a supervisor exactly my story. And then they said that they had other people say similar things about the same operator, so they decided that she should be fired. And after that day, whenever I called for a taxi, I never experienced any more difficulties.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that story. It must have been really scary for you at that time in the middle of the night to wonder whether or not a taxi was ever going to come.
Yes. I felt very much at the mercy of the taxi company. Very much so.
Yeah. And another thing that kind of went through my mind as you told the story, was your original desire in calling the manager on that following Monday and sending a letter, were you hoping to get the person fired?
No, Definitely not. I just thought that I should get some education to the taxi company so that they are able to better assist people, especially people that do stutter.
Yeah. So how did you feel when you found out that the person was fired?
I did kind of feel a kind of, because I honestly was begging the person, begging her to send somebody. And she was just like, laughing at me and just saying, oh, well, I'm not gonna send anybody. And it just felt so awful. Yeah. But I just hope that she took something from that experience.
Well, I would hope that she would have had to, because I mean, that's a huge lesson to learn, you know, on her part. But it was also a huge, you know, a huge accomplishment for you to be able to stand up for yourself the way that you did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think if I had been able to, even after talk to the person and to try and so that she can put a face to the voice, which might have helped her understand even more.
Yeah. You know, I wanna ask about Yeah, I did it again there. I just interrupted. Sorry.
Pam?
Yeah?
Oh, no. I'm done now.
All right. I remember when we were in Cleveland, I remember commenting to you and asking you about this, and I want to ask again. It's got to be very exhausting for you to stutter, isn't it?
Yes.
I can hear it.
It is exhausting, but stuttering to me has two sides. The side that, okay, I've had my stutter ever since I started talking. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a part of And that's the part that I really like. That's the part that I sometimes have difficulty. Difficulty when I think about doing speech therapy, where it's just like I've never not stuttered, and so in speech therapy, they've always taught me to speak slower and blend the words together so that I am able to talk better. But I feel silly talking like such because that's not how I talk. But people say if I do start talking as I am talking at the present time, then that take over my normal speaking voice. And I find it kind of funny that I'm sometimes really able to talk like I'm talking, and when I really try and talk like such in a job interview, I can never talk so fluent.
I totally get that. I mean, obviously my stutter is very different than yours, but it sounds to me like you are concerned about like being fake almost.
Yeah,
and I understand that, and I one of the first things that I jotted down from your paper that I wanted to be sure that we talked about was you mentioned how important it was for you to develop your stuttering identity.
Right.
What does that mean? I mean, it sounds like you were almost kind of leading up to that. What is your stuttering identity?
Well, I have a little saying that says listen to what I say and not how I say it. But it's just, it's so hard because stuttering is a part of me, but it's a small part. And sometimes I think people see the stutter before they see me. And it's difficult to try and juggle it
Yeah.
out.
Does that piss you off when you think people are only seeing your stuttering and not you as the woman?
Yes, but I've people that do, I don't have time. So if I see that someone is too focused asking me about my stuttering or on offering me different solutions, even though I've told them I'm fine that I stutter, I'll tend not to talk to them so often.
Which is a very human thing to do, whether we stutter or not. Right. And you know that from the line of work that you're in. I know people that are listening may be thinking, like, how did she reach a point where she's got such a great attitude of acceptance? How did you reach this point where you really are okay with you as you are?
Okay, I think now this will be kind of answer,
That's okay.
but as a child, I experienced a lot of taunting and teasing, and teachers calling me dummy and retarded, which they'd phone my parents, and my parents didn't understand English. So they tried to do the best possible job, and they did take me to the doctor and such. But I suffered a lot in the first 9 years of my life, where at school I felt very misunderstood, and alone all the time. Like, I really didn't have many friends, and the people that did talk to me, other children, they'd say, "Oh, don't talk to her because she talks all like funny and stuff." So I developed a thick skin, and I believe in God. So every I talked to him and asked him to send me somebody to talk to. And I didn't even know that my parents started like spying on me during recess because I didn't tell them or anybody that people were teasing and bullying and saying all this stuff. And they decided to move me to a different school, and the principal sent me to see a speech pathologist, and her name is Lisa Avery, and she actually really helped me open up and talk about what was happening. And yeah, she talked about my speech and how I should like use different targets, but she also talked to me about how I fell inside, and that meant so much to me to have somebody that was just like there, and that she, even though she didn't stutter, but she told me that children teased her about being fat, and we just, and I told her that children actually didn't tease me about the stuttering, but instead they teased about me being fat child, even though I was not such, but children just, they felt bad, probably some about teasing me about my stutter, so they chose a different something that they believed I'm able to control. Okay, so then as I'm doing speech therapy, our speech pathologist asked a bunch of us if anyone might be interested in being a part of a documentary for children who stuttered. Now, I've been someone that loves like acting and theater and TV. I love it. So I said, this is perfect because I stutter and it's about that. So I decided to go for an interview, but I didn't know that they had interviewed 99 children before me, and I just decided to show up, and I did, and I suppose that my personality and my story was something that they were interested in, so they changed the script, and I joined their documentary, and through that, talking about my story, and through meeting people at the first Canadian conference for people that stutter, I saw adults that had become doctors and dentists and teachers, and I didn't even know that all of those jobs were even a possibility. So that really opened up my box, and I'm met so many amazing people, and the person that stands out is Fred Murray. And so that documentary entitled Speaking of Courage actually got many awards and totally changed my whole perspective and my self-esteem also.
Wow. Well, I can see why the documentary would have been titled Speaking of Courage, because I think that's what you've been speaking this whole time that you've been sharing your story, because it certainly takes courage to present yourself just like you are, and be totally okay with that. And I just really respect and admire you for, you know, letting it all hang out and just being you. That's really important.
Yeah.
What about these days? What's it like for you socializing and with relationships and whatnot? Does your stuttering get in the way?
Okay, let's see. I am a very social person. I enjoy socializing and meeting new people. I think that very often when I see someone of the opposite sex, I do tend to stutter a lot more. And when I don't know somebody, that can be a little bit challenging, especially if someone's not been exposed to it. And so it's been, at times, it's been a little difficult. So I'm still on my search for the perfect person for me, but I am confident that I'll find that person.
Well, I'm sure that you will, and probably when you least expect it, that person will present himself to you. Because okay. I think that's how it usually is. When we're not actively looking is when, you know, the right people come into our lives.
Yes, people do say that very often.
Listen, I want to kind of, we need to wind down because we want to be cognizant of the time, but I want to kind of ask you, what are two things that people would be surprised to learn about you that have nothing to do with stuttering?
Oh, wow. Two things that have nothing to do with stuttering that people would be surprised to know about me. Well, I just started jogging, and I hate jogging, but I decided to do it as kind of a test to push myself, and it's been hard, but I am enjoying the challenge. And what is something else? Well, something that people don't know.
Or be surprised.
Yeah, something that people will be surprised. Surprised. I'm trying to think of something that'd be shocking or like what can I say? I'm a big family person. Spending time together, telling people that I love them. That is something that's very important to me to tell all my loved ones.
Oh, that's so, I'm so glad you shared that, because I think in our busy, hectic, crazy lives that sometimes we forget to tell the people that mean the most to us that we do love them.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you reminded people of how important that really is.
Yes, yes.
One last trick question.
Okay.
What do you like to do for fun?
For fun? Well, I enjoy spending time eating out and trying different restaurants, and also I love shopping very much so.
I think most women do.
I know. I just had to say that.
Well, listen, it has been such a pleasure chatting with you, and I know that we haven't even scratched the surface, but I'm going to encourage people that want to know more about your story or read your paper to get in contact with you, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And listen, thank you again so much for being so honest. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.